It just seems like yesterday we were starting out 2021. So let's be in prayer for 2022 and for the direction for the church. And I would ask you specifically to be in prayer for us as we are praying toward doing some type of a mission trip back to Kentucky to help in the rebuild effort. And they are continuing to try to find temporary shelter for people right now and to clean up a lot of the destruction. And then after all of that kind of gets figured out and they get things kind of cleared off, then we'll start talking about rebuild. And our church would like to go and be a part of that by framing up at least one house and trying to get it dried in. And so we were kind of talking about the possibility of maybe toward the end of May. And we don't have any dates yet, so be in prayer for us. We'd like to take a team out there. And a lot of how much we could do would depend on the number of people that are willing to volunteer. And so we'll just see how that works out. But we're going to try to keep you guys in the know as we know more. But I'm asking for your prayer right now in the planning stages, because we want to be in the center of God's will with that. And I know God wants to connect his people. Amen. And he wants, by connecting his people, for us to be able to shine the light for those who don't know Christ. And so that's how that all works, is whenever we see opportunities to connect with God's people, no matter where they are, it glorifies God whenever we come together. And that's what we want people to see. Do be in prayer for that situation out there, because from what I'm hearing from people that are on the ground there, the whole looting situation seems to be kind of ramping up, you know. People are just kind of helping themselves to other people's stuff, because they feel like it's pretty unguarded. Excuse me. And so anyway, that is causing a lot of people who don't have homes to want to try to put up tents to stay there. And that works at 70 degrees, but it's not going to work very good when we get more seasonable temperatures. And so just pray for all that situation. So, you know, oftentimes we realize it's only stuff, but then for a lot of people, it's the last and only stuff they have at all. And it's all over the place, and they're trying to figure out how to restart their lives. So anyway, in all of that, we just pray that the Lord's will be done, and that there'll be a proper sense of order that is established. So I am very thankful to be a part of Cadet Baptist Church. And I hope that you all feel that way as well. We want to welcome anybody who's visiting today, and we hope that you can feel comfortable in becoming part of Cadet Baptist Church as well. It's more than just a place to meet. It's more than just, you know, an organization. We want it to be really, truly a family, and the family of God meets here, and we want you to be part of the family. And so just pray about how God will use you here and help us to mature together. And that's really the key, is to make disciples of all nations, right? And to be able to disciple others, we have to be a disciple ourselves. And so that's part of why we meet together for our group services when the Bible is being taught. And so I pray that today God would open your eyes as we look at God's Word. And so we are going to be talking a little bit about Christmas today. And Christmas, it would also be better named, I think, the Advent, or the time when Jesus came to earth. And we know that that isn't really the beginning of the story, because as was already pointed out, it was always God's plan to send his son from the time of the fall in the garden. He already knew how he was going to atone for sin, and we see the vision of it right there in the book of Genesis about how the woman would have a child, and this child would crush Satan's head, right? He would wound the child's heel, but the child would crush his head. Crush to the head is a fatal blow, right? And that's what we're understanding. And so we're thankful that we know that Satan is his fate is sealed. Whenever Jesus came, when Jesus lived that perfect life, when Jesus died on the cross, we know that when he said it is finished, that's exactly what he was speaking of. And now we have to see it all played out because God's plan continues on. And sometimes the day after Christmas can be a little bit of a letdown for folks. And so I don't know how the rest of you are feeling, but it's my prayer today to remind us that God has a plan. It's not that he had a plan. He has a plan. His plan continues on even the day after Christmas. He continues to complete his plan. And so we will be in Galatians 4 here pretty soon. But before we do, I'd really like to for us all to open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read 1 through 20. And if you're able to stand during that reading, I would love it if you would. All right. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus to that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius, it was the governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the land, the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you. Thank you for delivering this wonderful message to these shepherds in their fields. They were just going about their business, doing their job, and just keeping watch over their sheep as they were to do. But when they heard this heavenly message, they dropped everything to go into Bethlehem to see this wonderful thing which you have done. And so, Lord, as we hear this message today, no matter where we are in life, no matter what's going on, I pray that you would help us to continue on with you, to go to that next level as you show us more about how to grow in our faith. And Lord, if they just would have sat there and said, "Well, I don't know, I'm kind of busy, I think I'll just stay where I'm at," they would have missed out on the greatest blessing ever. They got to see the little baby Jesus there. They got to see that you had sent salvation to the earth even before others really realized it or knew anything about it. They got to see a miracle. So, Lord, help us to stay in tune with your Spirit, that we don't allow your revelations in life to pass us by. Help us just to be where you've called us to be at each opportunity so that we can get the greatest of blessings as we walk with you. So bless us today as we look at how you have a plan. And Lord, part of this plan was the actual Christmas that we celebrate, the advent of Jesus Christ. But we know that's not the end of the story. And so, Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you, because you are still completing that story today. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. Let's just open this up a little bit, because when we read it there in the book of Luke, and the way that it's packaged, we could almost imagine that this just sort of happened in this way. It just sort of happened, because it all seems like, you know, it could be like the world would call it, like a coincidence, that she just happened to be about to give birth whenever this decree came down. And how unfortunate was it that she was going to have to travel with her husband whenever she was 9 months pregnant? How unfortunate was it? How treacherous was it that all of this stuff was going down the way that it was? But the thing I really want us to understand is none of this was happenstance. This was all God's plan. This was part of God's plan all along. In fact, He prophesied of so many of these things from so many hundreds or even thousands of years before. And it's so incredible to see how all of it was with pinpoint accuracy, exactly the way God said that it would happen. And it isn't just that God foreknows, but God actually chooses. He has a plan that he is carrying out. And it's so beautiful to see how intricate that it can be. And by knowing this, it helps me to understand that God has a plan for my life as well. God has a plan for your individual lives as well. And you are all part of his plan of bringing the message of redemption to other people who don't know about it. And so it's so incredible to see how God works. His manifold wisdom, it's many points coming in to that one main purpose. It's just incredible. And we can see that just in this wonderful account that we have of the Advent. And so I just want you to know, none of this was happenstance. God chose everything. God chose the time. And I love this scripture from Galatians. It just reminds me of how God chose the time. In fact, in Galatians 4:4-5, it says, "But when the fullness of the time had come." I love that phrase. When the fullness of the time had come. I mean, God knew exactly when it was going to happen. And this event is so incredibly important to all the world that we even keep our time based on this event. And you know, people in the world today are like, well, you know, maybe Jesus came, maybe he didn't come. You know, it's just like they treat it like it's some kind of fanciful story or some kind of a fairy tale or something. Guys, I'm going to tell you, our time is actually marked because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. A.D., Anno Domini, means in the year of our Lord. I mean, from that point forth, this is such a significant event. And I want you to know, God chose the time. When he said, in the fullness of time it had come, that means when God said so, it came. I want you to know, God is still choosing times and seasons, and he has in his heart the very next thing that's going to happen, and he knows exactly when it's going to happen. And I'll tell you, I am looking forward to the return of Jesus. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but do you know that God actually knows the time? And so when we look at this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Praise God. Praise God that God has a plan. In fact, we can even go back into the Old Testament and we can see how God foretold the actual timing in the book of Daniel as well. And so if you kind of follow along in the notes, I chose out some different scriptures. And I encourage you, keep these notes. Go back and read the bigger sections of scripture that are connected to these. because it will so build your faith. It will so help to fulfill your faith and make your foundation of faith so much stronger. But as we see, he foretold to Daniel, he says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince." Who is Messiah the Prince? It's Jesus, the Christ. That's what Christ means. It's just another word for Messiah, and they both mean anointed one. "Until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times." So this is foretelling the return from Babylon back to Jerusalem, and that they were going to rebuild the temple there. They were going to rebuild the walls, and then there was going to be this other period of time, which was the 62 weeks. That's 62 times 7 years. A week of years is seven. And if you do the math, folks, and you look at a timeline, God was telling him exactly how long it was going to be before the Messiah came. It's amazing how he told, and you know, there were scribes that knew it was coming close. There were scribes in their day who knew the town he was going to be born in, because we're going to get to that too. He chose the place. But let me tell you something, he chose the time. This thing didn't just happenstance happen to happen. You know what gets me? Is whenever the shepherds, the lowest of the economy of people, the poorest among the poor, the most despised, whenever they heard the message, they went and checked it out. You know, those scribes knew that it should be around the time. And the funny thing is, they didn't go check it out. In fact, whenever Jesus started preaching, they were some of them that came against him. Isn't that sad? Sometimes religious people can be the biggest hamperance to the gospel going out. But what we want to do is we want to be more like those shepherds, that we would just believe God. We want to be more like Daniel, who believed God and he was looking forward to it. Even though he wasn't going to see it with his own eyes, he recorded what God said through the angel and marked down the exact time that Jesus would come. He goes on in verse 26 there of Daniel 9, "And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off." You know that whole crucifixion thing? Guys, that wasn't an accident either. It was all part of God's plan. God had a plan to send his son so that his son could live a perfect life that none of us could live, so that then he would voluntarily go to the cross and give up his life for us to pay for our sins. How incredible is that? He should be cut off, but not for himself. He didn't die for his own sins. He died for our sins. It wasn't just an afterthought. It wasn't just an accidental thing and God decided to use it. It was God's will and his plan and his desire so that we could be saved. "And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and until the end of the war, desolations are determined." So what we've got to understand is that new covenant, that new testament that we are in now, cuts off the old way of making sacrifice. And you know what? There's some Jewish people who haven't received their Messiah that are still upset about that. In fact, that was one of the reasons why they cut off the Messiah in the first place, is because he was preaching this gospel, this good news that he was Messiah, that he is Messiah, and he came, and they just couldn't receive it. They couldn't accept it. And you know, people are still struggling with it today, and they're going to continue to struggle with it, and they're going to continue to get upset whenever they hear the message. So don't be surprised, but you got to remember, it's still all part of God's plan. He wants us to be the ones to take that message to the rest of the world. You see, God chose that time, and God chose the place. And if you look all the way back in the book of Micah, it's just one place, but he says in chapter 5, verses 2 through 3, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel." God chose the place that he would be born. And I don't know if you caught that as we were reading in the book of Luke. That wasn't where they were living. They were actually living in the land of Galilee. They were living down by the lake. They were living in a place called Nazareth. But you see, God perfectly ordained. He even used basically the IRS to get them to the right place so that she would give birth to that child in the town that he foretold, right there in Bethlehem, the city of David. How beautiful is that? God is able to fulfill his will, and he's able to fulfill his will in your lives. Let's trust God. We are coming up on a new year. Let's know that just like God had a plan then, God has a plan that he is continuing to accomplish now. Let's all just stay in tune with God's will. Not only did God choose the time and the place, but he also chose the mother. I've heard people try to figure out why he chose Mary. And I've heard people try to do things with it that I don't think the Bible really allows us the freedom to do. You know why he chose Mary? Because he chose Mary. It was just his will. And so let's just rejoice in the fact that he had a plan and he carried it out, and that she agreed with God. And she said, "Let it be to me as you say," whenever the message came to her. That is the most wonderful example to me. Let it be to me as you say, Lord. Because see, God chose that mother. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, he says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" And it continues on. And now when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." How amazing. You know, what he was asking her to do was probably the hardest thing that a young woman in her situation could have ever been asked to do. To be pregnant while still not married. She was betrothed, but hadn't yet consummated the marriage, because she had to be a virgin to bring forth the Son of God. And so, in all of this, did you notice the part where it says she was troubled at his saying? Go back and read what the saying was. You know why she was troubled? It's because she was humble. He said, "Rejoice, highly favored one, for the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." This troubled this humble girl. And in that humility, God used her powerfully. And still to this day, we remember her special place as being chosen by God to bring forth his son. What a beautiful, beautiful task. Oh, but it was a difficult one because of the stigma that it would bring. But here's the thing, God has a plan. God said he would accomplish it through her, and God accomplished it through her. You know what our place is? Much like Mary's. Let's just be humble and let God do what he's going to do through us. Even when it brings difficulty, even when it sounds like it's going to be tough, even when it is tough, let's know that God is still doing something. And you know what? It wasn't just in Luke that this was foretold. If you go all the way back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That name means God with us. A lot of people debate, what did the word virgin mean there? You know what it meant? It meant virgin. A woman who had never been with a man. Because it was going to be like unlike anything else that had ever happened before, guys. It's a miracle. God does miracles, and he's still doing them today, just in different ways, at different times, according to his choosing. Because as you can see, he chose the time, he chose the place, he chose the mother, he also chose the adopted dad too. Isn't that amazing? He wanted Jesus, his son, to have protection on earth as well by a caring dad. You know what? Adoption is not a lesser type of being a parent, is it? Adoption, in some ways, I mean, we got to understand, it's like none of us can really be a child of God unless we're adopted into his kingdom, right? As we are adopted, just like we read there at the beginning from that passage from Galatians. This adoption process means that this dad actually chose to follow through with this challenge. And so Joseph was the one who was chosen by God to be this adopted dad. And you can read all about it in Matthew chapter 1, but we're going to read a couple of verses here where he was being reassured by an angel. It says, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. Guys, whenever he found out she was pregnant, and they weren't yet married, that was troubling to him for obvious reasons. But you see, God sent a special messenger to reassure him that it would be okay. And again, this humble man listened to God, put aside all of his own special self-protective ideas and all of that that we all deal with, and he decided, I'm going to follow God. And so as we read on, we're going to find he's being told by the angel, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. You see, it wasn't like he sent his son to straighten everything out and things weren't working out so good and he wound up on a cross accidentally. No, God has a plan. He knew exactly how he was going to do it. This pain, this plan was going to include some pain. You know, sometimes when we're following God and things get painful, all of a sudden we say, boy, I must be going in the wrong direction. Because you see, God doesn't want me to have to go through pain. God doesn't want me to have to make tough decisions. God doesn't want me to have to be humble and things of that nature. We really misunderstand God. Let's just say that every time God's plan was being played out by people, it did involve hardship, folks. In fact, Jesus warned us during his lifetime, he was getting ready to go back to heaven. He told his disciples, in this world, you will have tribulation. But you see, even in that tribulation, we can be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. So guys, I know that we're all facing things in our lives that sometimes bring challenge and pain and all of that. Don't let that be some kind of an indicator to you that you must be on the wrong track. In fact, if you're not doing anything wrong and you got stuff hitting you, you're probably on the right track. Because that's one of the indicators that really sometimes we're going in the right direction. We're finding that we are, you know, we're not going with the current of the rest of the world. We're swimming upstream, and sometimes that's going to involve some challenge. But here's the deal. Let's meet the challenge just like these people of God did here. They were chosen for that task, and they said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's say yes to the Lord today. You see, Jesus also not only chose the time, the place, the mother, the dad, he also chose later on his 12 disciples. And in John chapter 15, verse 16, let's make no mistake about it. He chose his disciples. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you shall go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Guys, if he chose the 12 then, and they went out and did his will to bear fruit. Now, we know one of them was even a traitor, right? God replaced him in due time, and he dealt with all that. In fact, he was allowed to do what he did because in the end it wound up serving God's will. Now, he didn't make him be a traitor. I want you to understand that. The only thing God's got to do for evil to do its part that will eventually serve him is he just allows it to do what it's going to do. Okay? He allows evil to do what evil does whenever it's serving that part of his plan. But you see, in the end, he chose those 12 disciples. Who chose who? God chose them. And God chose us. You know why you're here today? Because God chose for you to be here today. You know why you're here today? Because you agreed and said yes and you came. And so as we walk together, let's remember God has a plan. You see, it helps me to remind me daily, God has a plan. He chose for me to come to Gadat Baptist Church as the pastor 13 years ago. I wouldn't have come if I hadn't thought God really, it was God's will for me to be here. In fact, I took a month and a half or so after we talked with the church to just pray and ask God to confirm it in my heart before I would ever say yes. Guys, I want you to know that you're in the center of God's will so that you'll serve him with just the greatest amount of joy of your heart. You know what? I've found a lot of people waver when they're not sure if they're really in God's will. But once we know that we are in God's will, people will stay firm to the end. By power of Holy Spirit and our commitment in it, we will stay firm to the end if we know that we're in God's will and we lean in on him. We don't quit so easy. So I want you to know God has a plan. You're part of that. Now the question is, in the end, will you choose to follow him? And so that's all part of that. If we know that God's in this, that God's brought us to this, that God's got us where he's got us, and this is his will, now the question is, are we going to be like Mary and Joseph and the 12 disciples and say, yes, Lord, yes. I sure don't want to be like that 12th disciple, that Judas, who wound up going back on it. Do you know what I want to do? I want to say, God, I'm going to trust you even when I can't see the whole plan. I just want to trust that I know you're good. You've proven yourself to be good many different ways and many different times. And even when it's hurting, I'm going to keep saying yes. In chapter 1, verse 12 of John, I think this is really the beginning of that choice. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. But as many as received Jesus. Let's just receive him. Receive him as he is. Receive him as he comes to us and shows us what his will is for our life. Let's receive him. Let's say yes, Lord. Let's not waver and doubt all the time. Let's just know he's got a plan. He's carrying it out just like he always has in the past. You see, God also chose to reveal it to others. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. Guys, he chose for others to hear this gospel. And you know who he chose to deliver it? Us. So let's put ourselves in a place where we have received Jesus and we want to receive his will for our life and do what he's called us to do. The question is, if he's come to you and he's revealed himself to you, have you received him? I know that that's like the first step, you know, is saying yes to the Lord. But, you know, as we continue on in that process, he's going to show us how we need to adjust our life, too. Do I get an amen to that? Has he ever shown you some adjustments that we need to make in our lives? Some of them can be a little painful, too. But here's the deal. God has a plan. And he sends his provision. And I can tell you, if you have received Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have got what it takes to make any adjustment necessary if you'll just rely on the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Dear Father, as we look at the fact that you have a plan, we know that the adjustments that Mary and Joseph made were tough adjustments. They were hard. But what we know is that your Holy Spirit will give us what we need at the proper time. We've just got to trust you. Lord, we know that those disciples, they had to make some adjustments in their lives to be able to follow you. Lord, all but one died a martyr's death. But what we understand is they had the Holy Spirit to empower them to stay faithful and true to you through those struggles. And so, Lord, help us to know that we have the same Holy Spirit available to us. God, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Help us to know your will in our life, to know that you are still carrying out your same plan that you've always had, and that's the plan to redeem mankind from our sins. There are still so many lost people in this world, Lord, and they are blinded by the God of this age, by the enemy, the devil. Lord, I pray that you would set them free, take off those blinders, and help us to be able to show them the message of the good news of Jesus Christ so that they can be saved. Lord, help us to be used of you in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen.